Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness. I am your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams. And we talked last week about the prayer to examine our heart, and the points we focused on were the two aspects of prayer, and we have responded to his presence, and how are we doing that on throughout the day, and then are we allowing the footprints of the Holy Spirit to be seen in our lives, reflecting our thoughts and feelings and actions, and looking at them and seeing what are we really thinking, and remembering and rehearsing the deeds of God. You know, that's just awesome, just to do what you think Christ would do. But the point that brought out was how we need cleansing and purifying and how we need the healing. And then the other point that we brought out was just as we learn to accept and love ourselves and accept the gift of forgiveness from God, and from God's acceptance and from love within, then we can be able to love others. And then the final point that we talked about last week is how do we practice the prayer by looking inward, which is a journey through looking at ourselves, saying, God, let your light shine on my soul. If there's anything that's not like you, remove it. But God is a central force, and we are attracted like a magnet by the law of central tendency, which means the scripture for that is draw unto God and he will draw unto you. You attract what you think. Even if you fear things, it can come up on you. If you love God and you seek God, he will dwell in your presence. We talk about daily inventory, journaling, meditating on the words of God, and just a time which has been so good for us this week, a personal just relaxing before God. And prayer is not always about a lot of, you know, praying out loud and praying in the spirit. Sometimes it's just listening to God and laying and retreating, and we don't want to say retreat, but just to reflect and to relax in his presence, because his yoke is easy, because we're always moving forward, but relaxing in the things of God and just being still. My greatest prayer time is my quiet time. And so those were the points. But today, as we move along in our teaching, we're going to talk about the prayer of tears. How many of you have ever just cried out to God? Coming to God with a broken and contrite heart. Sometimes it is just good to cry. When is the last time you have really just cried out to God with tears, broken, and just asking God, what do you want me to do? Sometimes we just need to just not try to be so strong, and do we just need to just come with a contrite heart and say, God, I need your help. Just like your child, if your child came to you and said, Mom, Dad, I just really want to do the right thing, and just really with big tears and said, oh, God, that's what God says to do. Oh, God, I just want to serve you. Or, I mean, if your child just came to you with tears and said, I just want to do what's right. God, I just want to do what's right. That's the same way with our earthly father, our natural father, or maybe your child did something wrong if you're a parent, and they came to you and said, Mom, I'm so sorry, with tears. You know, that's a broken contrite, not a prideful spirit. And God can work in that, and he can work through that. And today we're going to have some participation with some reading of the scriptures, if our audience would like to be a part, because we have several different scriptures that we're going to cover. But coming to God with a broken and contrite heart, we can see throughout the scriptures. Just quickly, some of you could help us find Acts 20:19. We'll look at that, and then we'll move to Acts 20 and 31, 2 Corinthians 2 and 4, and 2 Corinthians 2, Chris, I'm apologizing, 2 Corinthians 7, 7 to 11. We know that God wants to work in us and he wants to work through us, but sometimes we just need to cry out to God. We know that Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, and we'll talk about that. We know throughout the scripture of David and the Psalms, even Jesus, how he came with tears and litany throughout the scriptures. And even the scripture says, blessed are those who mourn. But let's start off today, if you have your Bibles, and let's look at Acts chapter 20, and we will start there and look at verse 19. Again, we're going to look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, and I am going to read out of the Amplified today, just so we can expound upon the scriptures even more. And it's really good to look at the Word of God, because you can always get a revelation. Even if you know the scripture and you can quote it by heart, it's just always good to turn there and to read, because there may be something in the scripture, a new revelation, or something in and around the scripture. But anyway, it says, Acts 20 and 19, serving the Lord with all humility. This is Paul. In all humility, with all tears, in the midst of adversity. So here Paul is in the midst of his affliction, in the midst of his trials, which befell upon him due to the plots of the Jews that came against him. We see here that Paul is serving the Lord in tears. So sometimes even Paul, the man of God, he cried. And sometimes we don't want to cry out to God, and we just sometimes need to just wail out to the Lord and just to have that release. Now let's look at Acts 20, and we looked at 19, but let's move quickly down to verse 31. And anyone here today would like to participate in our reading, you feel open to. It says, therefore, be always alert and on your guard, being mindful that for 3 years I never stopped. So here he was going night and day, never stopped, seriously, to admonish and advise and exhort you. One by one, with what? Tears. So here we see Paul was crying. He was broken. And he was crying out to God. And I believe that today that some of you just need to cry a little bit. You know, sometimes it may be years or months, but just your breakthrough can just be defined today in coming to God with a broken and contrite heart. You know, in our culture, they say, oh, a man doesn't cry. But I say a man is the one who cries. If you see a man who cries, he's a man, because his heart is open, and God wants us to have a contrite and open heart. And the same thing with us women. They say we're emotional. We cry about everything. But sometimes we just need to cry, and we need to cry out to God and not be so stone-faced and stone-hearted. And, you know, in my meetings, just to share something personal, the times that we see the glory of God in our meetings is when the Holy Spirit comes up in me, and I feel like the Holy Spirit sometimes is grieved, and the Holy Spirit in me and through me will weep for the people, and the Holy Spirit in me and through me will weep because of where the people are and their decisions and their decision making and where they are and their purpose, and he wants them to be unleashed. And sometimes when you cry and you're crying interceding on their behalf, that brings a breakthrough for other people as well. So your breakthrough today could just be through coming to God with a broken and contrite heart on behalf of others and crying out to God. And let's look at 2 Corinthians 2, and we will look at the second chapter. Now, after you get there, we'll look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 4. And it reads as follows: For I wrote you out of great sorrow and deep distress, which it sounds like deep distress, that's like mental torture. He was anxious. He had anxiety of heart, yes, and with what? Here we see again, it looked like, I don't know, between Paul and Jeremiah, it looked like we have a weeping apostle here. But it says, with many tears, not to cause you pain, but in order to make you realize the overflowing love. So he was crying because he had an overflowing love that I continue increasingly to have for you. So he was crying because he had so much love. Isn't that amazing? For the people that he was ministering to. So sometimes that's the compassion, coming to God with a broken and contrite spirit. These are the litany of tears throughout the scriptures. And here our strong apostle Paul, who used to kill the Christians, now he's crying on behalf. You know, even in the scriptures, I believe they said some of them thought he had lost his mind, but yes, he had, for Christ. And I believe that's what God is wanting us to do, is to be able to just lose ourselves, let him take full reign of our spirit and cry out to him, just like your child would cry out to you. Daddy, Mama, we can cry out to God, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, and get up in his lap of sovereignty. And sometimes we just need to wail out. So I speak to you prophetically. Your deliverance and your next level is in just crying out to God, crying out on behalf of others. Do you know that when you even through intercession begin to travail and cry out on behalf of others, God hears you. The angelic host, the scripture says that they have bowls in heaven that have the prayers of the saints, and they are ascending and descending. God hears your cry. Have you ever heard of people that say, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I cried out, God, if you're really God, show me you're God. That happened when to go to another level. And God, when I was a teenager and I was at the altar, and I didn't scream it out loud, but it was from within, and I was at the front of the altar, and when I opened my eyes, I was at the back of the church. God will move you. His power will touch you when you sincerely, with everything you have within you, cry out to God for what you want, and he will answer you. He's waiting. He's waiting on you to say yes and to cry out to him. 2 Corinthians 7:7 through 11, this, I want to read this to you, we're going to look at let's see, 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, the 7th verse through 11. I want you to cry out this week. I just believe even now God is touching your heart that you just well up with compassion. Even some of you right now, that hardened heart, God is going to soften it. Even those that have a hardened heart towards others, God is going to begin to soften it. Even those that have had some unforgiveness, God is going to give you compassion for that person, and you're going to be able to weep and cry on their behalf. A great testimony that we had a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago or longer, a lady who had for 6 years had not spoken to a lady called, asked for forgiveness, and they both cried together on the phone and with repentance and got their breakthrough. And the one lady couldn't even get in a prayer to God. But when you cry, there's something in the God gave us tear ducts. A baby, when a baby wants something, it cries, wah, wah. And sometimes we're like, hush that baby up. Wah. We went to a restaurant last night, and we were going to go be seated, and the lady said, oh, let me sit you somewhere else. We got a crying baby over there. I said, don't worry about it. You take care of the needs, and the baby will be fine. That's what, you know. And the same with God. He wants us just to cry out, care of the needs, or cry out. But anyways, but it says yes. And not only by his coming, but also by his account of, which is the comfort with which he was encouraged. And it says, and refreshed and cheered as to you, while he told us of your yearning affection, of how sorry you were, and how eagerly you took my part so that I rejoice still more. So they were, how sorry you were for me is what it's saying. And it says, for even though I did grieve you with my letter, I do not regret. He says, I don't regret it now. So he said, I don't regret it. Though I did regret it, but now he said, I don't. For I see that the letter did pain you, though only for a little while. Yet I am glad now, not because you were pained, but because you were pained into repentance. Sometimes I had a pastor when I was a youth, and I mean he was a wool picker. He picked wool. You didn't sit in his church. They would sit you down if you had anything that you needed to work on in your life. And, I mean, he was hard, but I love that because, and people are, how do you sit under that? Sometimes we need someone that's going to point the way to give us what, not to sugarcoat. And even though it may hurt, even though, you know, whom God loves, he chastens. And this is what he's saying. It pained you, the letter I wrote, but because you were pained into repentance, God wants us to repent. You know, even though you have children, they may feel like you're hard on them, or you may feel like God is just, you know, things aren't breaking through and you're going through a lot. But God, he just wants us to repent. Now, here's the point. And it says the repentance. And so they turn back to God. For you felt a grief such as God meant you to feel, so that in nothing you might suffer loss through us or harm for what we did. Now listen to this, for godly grief and the pain God is permitted to direct produce a repentance that leads and contributes to salvation. And we know that scripture in several different versions, but I like to break it down here because it really makes it plain here. For godly grief and pain, God is permitted to direct, because he wants to produce a repentant heart that's going to lead you and contribute to your being saved, to your salvation, to your deliverance from evil. And it never brings regret. Never brings regret. But worldly grief, that's going to bring what? Hopelessness, sorrow, that is characteristic of what? The pagan world. We see people in the pagan world, they're looking and searching and all the grief. But it's going to lead you to hope, but it goes, because what the world have is that is deadly, breeding and ending in death. Now this is the last verse. For you observe what this same godly sorrow has done for you. and has produced in you what eagerness and earnest care to explain and clear yourself of what indignation, which is sin, what alarm, what yearning, what zeal, what readiness to mete out punishment. At every point you have proved yourself, you have cleared and guiltless in the matter. So here we're seeing through this that we're being cleared, we're being cleansed. We don't have to go through the punishment. Now, let's look at Matthew, where we see blessed are those who mourn. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams, Lifestyles for Lifetime, and we're talking today about coming to God with a broken, contrite heart. We're going through the scriptures and just looking at just the litany of tears that are throughout, where the different people, through weeping, through repentance, God was able to bless them to be able to have a turnaround in their lives and their lives being changed, because the tears are what God uses as a cleansing agent for our heart as we cry out for the things of God. God is there, and he gave us our tears and our tear ducts so that we could cry. So blessed are those who mourn, Matthew 5 and 4. Blessed, it says here, Matthew 5, 4, I'm reading out of the Amplified. Blessed and inevitably happy. So if we're happy, we know that happiness produces by the what? The experience of God's favor, and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace. But blessed are those, and happy are those who mourn. Because when you mourn, you're going to see, it says you're going to be comforted. And we always say that what tears may come, but joy is going to come in the morning. If you just cry out, blessed, happy, joyful, and that's where God wants us to be. So sometimes we need to mourn. Now, I want to just clarify some things here. If you've lost a loved one, and I'm going to park here just for a minute, and then we're going to move along in the lesson, because we just really gotten to our first point in the short time. But if you've lost a loved one,